Für alle ein Fest. Zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Funny Frisch Chips Frisch. 150 Gramm für nur 88 Cent. Oder Langnese Cremissimo. Ab 825 Milliliter für nur 1,49 Euro. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. It's Dave Landau Day here on Studios America. Dave will be here to break down the craziest stories of the day. We're going to start off by doing Biden's puppeteers. Lots of interesting information coming out about Joe Biden these days. A lot of really in-depth reporting. Digging deep. Like, for example, this story. Joe Biden is being evaluated for a small nodule on his prostate. There you go. The deep reporting I'm talking about. Actually, there has been a lot of reporting on this. And a lot of it has to do with Biden's cognitive state during his time as president of the United States, a period which we all hope to forget very soon. However, did actually exist. That was not a fever dream. We did not wake up from COVID and think, oh, my God. Remember, was Joe Biden actually president? He actually was, which is stunning. And it's kind of hard now because we're getting a lot of reporting of people telling you kind of the truth of what was happening back when he was president of the United States, all the cognitive failures, all the people around him who knew what was going on. We kind of forget what the media was telling us. And we might have this vision of like, hey, people were saying, oh, actually, he was fine. Let me just give you one little taste, give you a little rewind here and go to March 6th, 2024. OK, so this is not like the beginning of his presidency. 2024, a couple months before he dropped out of the race, basically. Here is Joe Scarborough.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. Mm-hmm. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
Oh, God.
Intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say.
What?
This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
Like, it's one thing to kind of downplay maybe a negative for somebody who you really like or who's on your side. That is what you've just seen is one of the most embarrassing pieces of media ever caught on tape. That is how anyone could hold their job after doing what he just did is absolutely impossible to understand. How could anyone watch that show? He completely lied to your face. Like a couple of months before the guy was so bad he dropped out of the race. He was telling you he's better than he ever was. How could you have any credibility on any topic after that clip? That is, it's been a while since I've seen it. One of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Okay, so we all know, obviously, that was a lie. He has the debate performance. He drops out of the race. A total catastrophe. Now we're getting lots of books telling you, by the way, we all kind of knew what was going on back then. The biggest, probably the one with the most hype, is this book, Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and Its Disastrous Choice to Run Again. We've talked about it quite a bit. It's written by Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson. Just to kind of remind you, Alex Thompson was one of the real reporters who was actually doing this at the time. We talked about him a lot during the campaign. He was the one guy who was kind of telling you the truth. And people talk about Jake Tapper and they say, well, Jake Tapper, then there's some clips that have gone around where he certainly nowhere near what you just saw from Joe Scarborough, but was pretty skeptical that this was a big deal. The main one that went around was I think it was 2021, I believe, 2020 or 2021, very early on in the Biden years. He did have a couple of moments like that. He was not perfect. He was a media member and he did not do a great job. I'm thankful he's seemingly telling the truth now. That's where I am with it, because I want people to know the truth.
some of the stuff that came out today, Biden's physical deterioration, most apparent in his halting walk, had become so severe. There were internal discussions about putting the president in a wheelchair, but they couldn't do so until after the election, the authors write. Again, these are all clips from the Jake Tapper, Alex Thompson book. The discussions reflected the extent of the president's declining health, particularly the significant degeneration of his spine and the AIDS alarm over it as his Biden sought to get a second term at the age of 81. The conversations also reveal the White House's determination to conceal the reality of Biden's condition at the risk of his own health while he faced a tough reelection bid against Donald Trump. Is it okay to conceal the state of the president of the United States, the mental state, the physical state of the president of the United States? Is that okay to conceal? I'm pretty sure I was under the impression it wasn't okay to do that. Now, there's more to this, and some of it is really, really ugly. Here's the killer quote. This one's from Politico, which confirms Democrats' worst suspicions about Joe Biden's top team after seeing the president implode on the CNN stage last summer. We attempted to shield him, not from you, not from the Congress, not from the media. We attempted to shield him from his own staff, an anonymous senior ex-Biden aide admits. So many people didn't realize the extent of the decline beginning in 2023, which I would argue is not really where the decline started. That's a whole other story. It's an extraordinary mea culpa, given how things have played out. More from the book, Confession Time. I love Joe Biden, the same former aide continues. When it comes to decency, there are few in politics like him. That is another lie. Still, it is a disservice to the country and to the party and for his family and advisors to allow him to run again. And that was a big, you know, theme here, where people in his family, people close to him, people who would benefit from his power, trying to get this to continue. This aide quit the White House because they did not think Biden should run again, The Guardian reports. More from the all these aides that now all of a sudden have voices. Apparently they didn't have voices back when he was president. Trying to defeat Donald Trump in just 107 days was an effing nightmare, admits Harris campaign advisor David Plouffe, who appears to have gone on the record in the Thompson book to make his anger crystal clear. And it's all Biden. He totally effed us. Now, that is a totally, I mean, let's be honest about it. Kamala Harris wasn't going to win that election anyway. It doesn't. Had nothing to do with Joe Biden. You needed to have a candidate that was capable of doing the job. Neither Biden nor Harris were. There are more from Politico. This is interesting because they are bracing for this. Biden is bracing for the book storm that is coming. Biden aides participated in reporting of Original Sin. That's the Tapper Thompson book, according to a person familiar. They were shocked to read the word cover up, and that's the framing on the book jacket. As such, framing wasn't used explicitly in some of the interviews facilitated by Biden handlers, this person claimed. They say while Thompson and Tapper openly grappled with Biden's age prior to the book's release, allegations of a cover-up or conspiracy broke new ground. You saw that with a clip of Jen Psaki the other day when she was kind of trying to say, oh, it's not really a cover-up. A cover-up's a perfect word for it. It actually describes it really, really well. However, it's not just the Tapper book. There's more books than this. There's Fight, Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House. It's covered a lot of this. Jonathan Allen, and we talked to Amy Parnes on the radio show. That's one worth reading and has a lot in there. Chris Whipple, a New York Times best-selling author, wrote the book Uncharted, How Trump Beat Biden, Harris, The Odds in the Wildest Campaign in History. I think that's just, I mean, there's so many of them. There's also this one, How Trump Retook the White House, Democrats Lost America 2024. This is by Josh Dossi, Tyler Pager, and Isaac Arnsdorf. You might not know those names, but what's interesting is the reporters from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and what was the third one? Oh, the Washington Post, all working together on a book. You may have the same reaction I did, was where were all of you at the time, with the exception of Alex Thompson. Where were you guys? I didn't hear much of this at the time. Well, we're going to find out when we read these books. Tapper, I think coming out, he's kind of the big name on the book. A lot of people are talking about Jake Tapper because he's very well known. But I mean, I think it's Thompson's reporting that is going to be, I think, a little bit more important here. And even if the media is, and you could point out some instances of Tapper on this, even if he is a little bit hypocritical on some of this, I still want the information. I still want real reporters doing their job on this. We had that kind of period when Kamala Harris was getting the nomination and Biden was still in, where we had that golden age of media for about 2 weeks, where all the reporters were able to do their jobs. They were able to find all these important things. That all went away. And now we have books telling you about it. I think if Biden had stayed in the race, certainly if he had won, we never would have heard this information until long after he was out of office. So it's important, I think, to know that the media doing its job is a good thing. If Jake Tapper realized he was wrong in 2021 and is now giving this information, that's a good thing. These reporters reporting this is a good thing. Alex Thompson, he did it at the time. And I have some hope for this book because of his participation in it. We're seeing some of this information today that we didn't know before. So I'm very interested to read it. What I'm concerned about more, though, than the media, because the media can do a bad job, and they do a bad job. What I'm more concerned about is the people inside the White House and around Joe Biden that were hiding this stuff from us, a cover up. All of their messaging, all their texts, this is all part of the record. We should have access to all of that. We need to know what they were talking about, how they were shielding us from, in their words, shielding us from what was going on with Joe Biden, how they were shielding Congress, how they were shielding his own staff. We need trials and accountability if there were crimes committed. And I kind of believe there were when it comes to this. I want to talk a little bit about this with Dave Landau, where we go from here, and get into some nonsense as well with Dave coming up next. In 2025, the weight loss industry offers plenty of solutions, but finding one that works for you can actually be challenging. That's why testimonials for Lean Weight Loss Supplement are so impressive. Patty S. says, "I finally found a weight loss product that works. I wanted to lose 20 pounds, and Lean really curbed my appetite." Lori M. reports, "I've struggled to get weight off, and Lean has become a lifesaver. I've been losing a couple pounds a week or more." Kelly F. says, "Amazing. I immediately noticed an energy boost and a healthy loss in weight. I would promote this product to anyone." Lean was created by a doctor and university researcher with scientifically studied ingredients. These key ingredients have been shown to lower blood sugar, reduce appetite, and burn fat by converting it to energy. Ready to try what's working for so many others? Well, get 20% off right now with the code STU20 at TakeLean.com. TakeLean.com. The code is STU20 at TakeLean.com. Check it out now. TakeLean.com. I'm joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. He's also the author of the new book, Party of One. You can pick this up wherever you get your books. It's great, really fun and fascinating read. Dave, how's it going?
Good. About you, my friend?
Good. Were you as surprised as I was that there's all these books coming out? Apparently, Joe Biden had some cognitive difficulties when he was president.
I never noticed any, but if they say so, I think they did a wonderful job covering it up.
Sharp as a tack is the way I every day I came on the air and said he's sharp as a tack.
That's the way they would describe him, even when he would shake hands with curtains and take questions from people that weren't there.
Yes.
I thought that was a bit of a shtick.
It's a very friendly curtain, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, at least he's being polite.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he just would repeat things into it that were said into his headset he wasn't supposed to repeat, like Lloyd Bridges in Hot Shots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I never noticed. No. Or a stunt double that seemed much taller.
What do you think what's the right reaction to these books? Because I was talking about this a minute ago. I'm a little torn in that, like, my initial reaction is just to be angry at the fact that all these people who were there and could have reported this when he was president didn't.
Yeah.
But secondarily, I'm like, well, I want to encourage them to do it eventually. I'm glad it's happening at some point. And I think that, like, what happens is we wind up punishing the people who write the book. Like, Jake Tapper's the one taking a big beating on the right from this. And it's like, well, I don't want to punish Jake Tapper more than, let's say, Joe Scarborough, who said 100 million times and then didn't write the book saying, actually, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have more Jake Tappers, even if they're not perfect.
Well, and at least he's coming out about it.
Yeah.
Which we all knew. But, I mean, we're looking at a guy who, if he didn't have a door on his bathtub, we were worried he might be assassinated by himself. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah,
like so. Wet grass or a staircase. I didn't know what was going to take him out. Yeah. The worst when they said he needed a wheelchair. I mean, he's not FDR.
Right.
He's just a guy who's so far gone that we're letting him pretend to run the country. That's for 4 years.
Kind of a problem. And it was funny because when he came into office, the people around him tried to convince him to become FDR, like he should pass all these big policies and big programs. And he did take it seriously. He just went on the wheelchair part of the FDR.
Yeah, he just went with the, he just went with the disease.
Right. That's kind of a strange. I don't think that was the right take for Joe. Are you surprised at how many books are coming out? How many revelations we're getting now?
It's funny because, yes, I think it's amazing how people will capitalize off of what they knew.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is how I screwed you. Buy my book to let me tell you how. But I am glad they're coming out. I'm not surprised by the number. Well, I guess I am. It's a pretty big number. Yeah. Not there shouldn't have been so many people actually involved in covering this up. Mm-hmm. But I guess what bothers me the most is how long it was covered up for.
Right.
Which was roughly all of it.
All of the years, all of the time.
Yes.
And that's, I think, an interesting thing, because we're going through this period where a lot of stuff has gone wrong.
Oh, yeah.
We've noticed it. You know, COVID is another good example of this, where, you know, yes, I think you can have some grace with people the first couple months and like, oh, gosh, what was going on? And, you know, it was a scary time for a lot of people. But like we came to a plate later on where like they're deleting. We've caught them now deleting emails, hiding things. We now have them. I think, you know, arguably, I know a lot of people here would say definitely committing crimes. Right.
Yes.
I think the same thing applies to this Biden situation. It is one thing for reporters to be bad at reporting. It's one thing for reporters to be biased at reporting and not give the full truth and not really press their sources when it doesn't seem right. Wait a minute, that guy's sharp as a tack and he's running circles around 25-year-olds.
Right.
I don't think so. It's another thing for government officials to be hiding from the American people the fact that we didn't have a president for an entire term. That's a big deal.
That's the worst part. I mean, yeah. I expect people to be biased in reporting. That happens. But when you do see him answer questions of just going, hey, Jack, when that's right, the thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on now. People are like, I've never seen him so bright. Are you kidding? Like, we all know he's not.
Right.
And I guess I don't know how they made it so polarizing in this country and divided it so much that we were supposed to, like, I guess a side was supposed to believe in him.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to just let it go. Like, he was never a great guy.
No. He sucked. I mean, he was a terrible senator. He was a terrible candidate. But
no, he was a racist.
Yep.
Yeah. He said terrible things about Obama. And then, like, he was a bargaining chip for the first black president.
Yeah.
They were like, well, nobody's going to take out the first black guy if Biden's going to be in office.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think it was a smart move on Obama's part.
It was.
But then we elected him as if he was some extension of that.
Yeah. Well, and at least some of the reporting after the Obama term was that the reason Biden got picked, aside from the fact that people would never want him to be president, was also that Biden or Obama saw the country as a bunch of, you know, bitter clingers to their religion and guns, right?
Yes.
This racist group of people that could not accept somebody with the last name Obama. We had to give them an old white guy on the ticket. Like that, just that opinion of Americans is so disgusting. And yet Obama gets nonstop praise for the decision.
Well, and especially we got 8 years of us doing that. I mean, he was elected in 2008. It's been a long time. It's not us hiding who we want to be the color of our president. We just want a president who can, I don't know, answer a question and not mistake everybody who's talking to for somebody that died 15 years
ago. Right, yeah. These are, I feel like, low bars, low hurdles to clear.
Very low.
Yeah.
Yeah, not falling upstairs. I mean, I know there's just so many things that he did that were, well, who put him on a bike? Like, you have I think he needs a wheelchair. What do you want to do? Let's have him ride up to reporters on a Schwinn.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they wanted to prove his virility.
Yeah. They sure did.
They sure did. They proved exactly where it was.
He fell off the bike.
Yeah. You know, and it's true. There was a clip we didn't get a chance to get to in the monologue, but a clip from the Axios article today. And it said, the reason why reporters didn't press them on these matters, and like the fact that he couldn't walk very well, right? Like that sort of stiff gait that he had.
I didn't notice, but go on.
Okay, yes, I guess. Okay. That's why I told you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you letting me know you had some issues.
He had some issues. The stiff walking style was because of his injury that he had when he broke his foot back, I guess, in 2020. And they said, they went to the press and they said, look, he won't wear his walking boot, and so it's not healing properly, and he's being defeated by his own, like, virility, his own ability. He was so out there and wanted to be so active, he wound up hurting himself. And the media is like, yeah.
Cracker bones.
Right, yeah.
No calcium.
Yeah. And the media is like, yeah, well, we could swallow that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like an appropriate. Like, obviously, we know they had biases, but like, the fact that they would just abandon their job responsibilities like that is a really bad sign for our country.
And it's a bad sign because it was a narrative. Yeah. And it's like they all chose to follow this narrative of he's perfectly healthy. You couldn't go there as a reporter every day being let in there.
Right.
And then first the woman, you know, comes out who's dressed as a Batman villain. And then, you know, we have her trying to clear the air on everything.
Yeah.
And then him, you couldn't ask him a question every day. It would be like looking at your grandfather in a nursing home. And then you come out and you're like, oh, I don't even know why he's in there. Like, well, you don't? Yeah, I mean, he only fell four times right. And he doesn't know anything anymore.
Right.
But I think, you know what, I'm thinking president.
Yeah, exactly. I think that one of the really good things about the Trump administration is if this happens to Trump, this happens to us as we age, right? If it happens to Trump, we're going to know. Because he's talking to us like 40, like I think 4 hours a day. He's doing an entire talk show every day with the media, which I think is a really good development. We know exactly where Donald Trump is on pretty much everything.
Yes, he doesn't hold anything back. And partially, I think, as weird as it sounds, because I'm, and this is not against Trump, but humility is not one of his strong cards.
No, definitely not.
But I do think that if he was failing mentally and cognitively, I think he would be honest about it.
Really?
I think
he would say he's the greatest, smartest man of all time.
It's possible.
That's what I think he would say.
I would hope, though, that he would at least, because I think it would be the level of embarrassment.
It would at least be very hard for him to hide.
Very.
Right? I mean, because he's talking to us all the time. And like, you know, look, there's a stylistic thing you have to get used to with Trump, of course. We've known that since the 80s. But like, they wouldn't be able to take him and put him in the basement for 6 months at a time. Everyone would be like, what the hell is going on? This guy wants to talk to us all the time. Now he's not out here. Something's up.
Right. I haven't seen a tweet in days.
Right. Yeah. Like,
this doesn't make any sense.
What do you make of the Kamala Harris, the excuse being provided, which is in this book, they're talking about like, hey, Kamala just didn't have enough time. If she had more than 100 days or whatever it was, she would have won. But it was impossible for her to win in this tiny, tiny short time.
Lie. And I'll tell you why. I was actually in the room at Rogan's Green Room mm-hmm. when he was talking to them about having Kamala on.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he said, yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, and he also wanted to have Trump on.
Yep.
And give them both a fair shake. And I hope this isn't speaking out of court or whatever, but
I don't care if you do that because it's really on me.
You're the one. Yeah, but it's like he said, I go. You know, people are like, you're just gonna bury her. He's like, no, I would give her a very fair chance to explain herself and give her every opportunity. But the reality is the more I thought about it, that's 3 hours. You can lose an audience in 3 hours when you can't stick to your story, when you're lying, when you know. And the reason why I don't think it would have worked is because I don't think she could, which is why she then changed where she wanted to shoot the podcast, added that it could only be an hour, and he's like, that's not how this works.
Right.
Like, you come to me, this is how we do it. So she tried to make him it look like he wasn't on board, which is a lie. So that right off the bat is a lie.
Yeah.
So giving her more time, it wouldn't work. Giving Trump more time actually helped. You know,
helps.
He did Theo's podcast, mm-hmm. And then you saw that he was vulnerable about his brother's alcoholism.
Yep.
And that was a great moment because you saw this side of him where he showed what pain he had been through to cause him to react the way that he did through his life. And I thought that was excellent. And giving him more time helped him. If you gave Kamala more time, it would have destroyed her career.
Yeah. I mean, her high point was basically immediately after it was announced. Like, when she got the nomination, she kind of went up and she was ahead for a while there. And then it just slowly started coming down until that debate kind of bounced back up a little bit. And then she, you know, tanked toward the end. Because the more Kamala Harris you get, the more you don't like it.
Right.
Right? Like, that is like a foundational principle of this nation.
Everybody, there's so many people who wanted to just vote for her because they hate Trump.
Yeah.
But then they started getting like, I don't know if I can do this. Because there was no benefit to her.
Yeah.
Like, and then you hear, you know, Biden went on The View, because why wouldn't you? It's such a great news source.
It is very good.
It's good to watch because everybody's so pretty.
Yeah.
And
especially Joy Behar.
I know. Just eye
beautiful.
Candy. Mm-hmm. How do you turn it off?
I don't know.
I don't. I mean, that's for sure. Anyway, so I mean, when you watch my Matt going, she wasn't elected because of sexism and racism. And it's like, well, I thought it was because she didn't have enough time.
Right.
It's like, which is it? It's like,
she, no idea.
Yeah, she wasn't ready for it.
And she, I think, is incapable of being ready for it. It's not a thing she can do. Like,
no.
You know, I sometimes I watch, you watch the Olympics, and you're just like, well, I guess I'm just not ready for the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. I'm just not capable of doing
right.
it. Right. And I have to admit that to myself.
I walk up a flight of stairs, right. and I get winded from my life choices.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just not going to try to run a 5K.
Yeah, right.
And that's, it's just personally, you should know your limitations.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, the only woman I could really see so far being a president is Hillary, because people in other countries are terrified.
Right.
Because she's a monster who's killed so many people. And her cankles alone are that of a man's.
That's true.
Of a mighty lumberjack.
Yeah.
And so she has that going on for her, where at least the other countries would be afraid. No one would be afraid of Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm. And just not to fact check you live on the air here, Dave, but you said a flight of stairs to be winded. This stage is only one stair. And I did notice you were a little winded.
Oh, I thought it was many.
No,
I tell you, one step like that, it's like Everest to me.
It is. It's difficult. All right, we have more with Dave Landau coming up in just a second. We're back with Dave Landau. Dave, you know, one of the things I do on this program a lot is we talk about elections and you know, things that are coming in the future. We hit the prediction markets quite a bit. That's one of my favorite things to do, is to hop on the prediction markets. I made a few dollars on the Pope
election.
I did. Mainly because it was one of those things that I was convinced no one had any idea of.
Right.
So at some point, right when the white smoke had come up, and the favorite, whoever that was, went to like 70%. I was like, there's no way anybody knows this. Like, they're just all guessing. Like, this guy might have a chance, but he's got as good a chance as probably anybody else.
Right.
So I voted no on him at 70%, and I was able to win.
And like, you went with Chicago.
A few bucks. Yeah, I know. And then the Chicago, I did not pick the right one. I just said no to the wrong one.
Oh, that's how you, I didn't even know.
On that one. Because you could say, okay, you know, the one I really wanted to win was Pope Pizzaballa. Because of his awesome name.
His name, and I feel like he would also be from Chicago.
Right, like a deep dish guy.
He's a pizza baller.
He's a pizza baller.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did not win apparently nearly as much.
Makes it rain pizzas at the strip clubs.
Exactly, like this guy
pizza
sounds
baller.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's like I can't think of anything better than a pizza baller. Like that's how you want to be known.
It's an Italian rapper.
Yeah.
I mean, that is solid.
And Pizza Baller did not win. He's looking for a job, probably. Maybe he goes into the Italian rap industry.
That's true. Learn to rhyme, buddy.
Just a suggestion. But I was apparently not the big winner of the evening. Online bettors spent over $40 million gambling on the identity of the next pope. One winner.
The Vatican won the most money.
Yeah, well, yes. The Vatican usually does win. But $52,000 on a long shot. Somebody went with it when it was at 1% on Kalshi's website. Was able to get, because the way that works, basically, if you're at 1%, you're going to be basically 100 times your money, right?
Right.
If you're at 2%, you get 50. It'll end at 100% for the correct one. All the other ones go to zero. So that's why voting no on those a lot of times is a lot easier than picking the right one.
Yeah.
$52,000, though, I don't know. Maybe I need to give this whole thing up and just start betting online.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the best thing to do.
It's
just go into gambling.
Okay.
I myself have had much success with it.
Really?
Oh, done.
Well, as a Detroit Lions fan, how could you lose?
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's over the years.
That's how I feel. Well, that's true. If I was just betting for them to lose every game up until 3 years ago, I'd be a billionaire.
Yes, you would.
But I'm still not confident enough. The Lions are great, and I'm still not like, I don't even have money on it great.
Right.
But, you know, I'll put a dollar that they'll be in the Super Bowl, because then I'll get 1.5 million if that happens.
Yes, even though they're really good and one of the favorites, still the fact that they'll actually get all the way there. Did you put any money? Would you consider voting on or betting on something like the Pope and who it is?
I didn't know you could. Like, I hear it's a sin, but then I hear it's not.
Right.
And also, being raised Catholic, they sure have a lot of casino nights for it being a sin. So I think you're allowed to.
I think so. Yeah. As long as the money's going to the church, I think that is...
That's the deal.
That's
as long
the
as
deal
you don't win.
Organizations.
And the church gets the...
Right, I think that's okay. At least you get a little fun, right? Like, it's one way you're just putting money in a dish.
Yes.
The other way, yeah, you're getting a spin of a wheel, you're getting a, you know, I don't know, a deck of cards, yeah, something.
And as a Catholic, I think that would pep up a church if you had a little roulette wheel coming around while you donated money.
That would be fun.
Take what you win, put back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, like, this may be a little sacrilegious, but I think, like, maybe, you know, a 50-50 raffles type of situation. Maybe everyone puts in more than they normally would.
Right.
You know, you of course put your normal donation in there, but put a little bit more in and you get a 50-50, you get a raffle ticket pulled out. This is a terrible idea now that I'm saying
I know. I mean, would I consider it though? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
especially now, but I would just lose money. But now I'd be like 1% at the beginning. I'm just going to find the worst guy. I mean, yeah. There's no way.
Well, that's the thing. Like, no one knows. Right? Like, I mean, I do we really think someone was, like, you know, texting out leaks from inside the conclave? Like, if that's happening, they got bigger problems than me betting on the Pope.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes. They have a ton of it.
That's a big problem. Yeah. All right, let's go to...
I would say, you know, the Vatican and, you know, the Cubs. I think that's a very, you know, you go to a Cubs game or the Vatican, mm-hmm. good chance you might get hit with balls.
I just don't know.
So
I'm glad I now have not made the most sacrilegious reference in the entire...
I believe in God and Jesus, but that's a good joke.
That's a good joke.
I think even Jesus would be like, hey, I'm not on their side either with that.
No, he's definitely not. He's definitely not. I don't know how he feels about the name situation going on in the United States, because we're talking about babies being born. They have a new list of who are the most common names.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know, like, you go through phases. You ever look at the charts for these? Like, you see just, like, one name will just, like, spike, you know, for a short period and goes away. Some have these big rises and then these falls. One of the famous ones was, sorry for setting off your devices, but Alexa had a rise. And then Amazon's like, we're tanking that one. Like, they knew that would have been a nice one to bet against, because it would have had a nice fall there, because no one wants to name their kid the same name as the device.
No, you don't know who it's calling.
Right.
You're trying to find your kid, and all of a sudden it just starts playing something from Hall & Oates.
Right, yes. Slowly and inaccurately. The wrong song, obviously, because that's what they do.
I don't like them.
Two top names in the United States. For the sixth year in the United States,
okay.
Liam and Olivia.
See, I would have thought Muhammad and Muhammad Et. That seems...
Interesting. It reveals a little bit about where you are from Detroit.
Yeah.
And reveals about maybe your neighborhood.
Well, yes. There we do have the largest population.
We do. Yeah.
And it's... you hear that name a lot.
It is a big rise. That's a big riser.
Ireland is still Muhammad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Muhammad.
Oh, Muhammad. Sorry, yes, of course. Yes.
Liam, I get because of Neeson.
You think that's it? We were like, I got to name my guy after the Taken?
Not at all.
No, okay, all right.
Maybe they could. I don't know. Like, when I saw Taken, mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. This is like the Charles Bronson Death Wish. It's actually PG-13. I still wouldn't watch it with a kid, though.
No.
Because you have to explain trafficking.
Yes.
But I love that movie. I'm like, this is like.
Taken is an all-time great.
Yeah, he comes out of retirement, and you're like, this is amazing.
Oh.
And then part two, you're like, okay. And then part three, you're like, he's a really bad father and husband and kind of bad. Like, he can't keep track of any of them, but he can track them down no problem.
Yeah.
And then they made Taken with Wolves, and they made Taken on a Train.
It get a little
They've
ridiculous.
They've made 400 Taken with Liam Neeson since Taken.
And I will say, like, his parenting ability and the quality of the movies have followed a very similar graph, right? Like, it's gone down quite a bit. But the first one was great. I mean, I don't know how people feel about John Wick. I kind of feel the same way about that. Like, John Wick, first one? That's a great movie.
Arguably the best action movie ever made. Top five, I mean, arguably.
It's in that at least conversation for at least recent history, yes. I think you have to say. And then two, you're like, okay.
I liked it.
And then, you know, three, you're like, I don't know. I was watching four on the plane. I was like, I don't know that they're even trying anymore.
No, I watched four, and it's like, I called people when John Wick came out, and I was like, they finally made an action movie that's incredible.
Yeah.
Go see it. And then I think the problem is they go to that hotel in New York.
Yes.
The whatever it is where all the assassins are allowed. Right. And you're like, why is it about this? Like, the first one was a guy avenging a dog.
Yes.
That was the best part.
Yes.
You killed his puppy, and he kills everyone in the Russian mob. And you're for it.
Yes, you're totally on his side.
Because you're rooting for the innocence, and you're rooting for the connection to, like, I love it.
It's a relatable thing, too. It wasn't like some Russian mob controversy that you wouldn't be, I mean, maybe, I don't know your background too well, Dave. I've read your book. It's possible you were involved in the Russian mob at some point. But
we won't talk about it.
We won't talk about that. but, like, it feels like relatable. Like, that's the way you'd want to react if someone killed your dog.
Yes.
Like, screw you guys, I'm taking all of you out.
Oh, especially those four. The only flaw in that movie is how did those four knock out John Wick?
Yeah.
That's the only part. But other than that, the whole movie, just watching him, you know, I once saw somebody take, or him kill three men with a number two pencil. It's fun, cheesy, awesome lines.
Awesome.
And because it was written by a stunt coordinator, the stunt coordinator was actually the guy who ended up taking on Brandon Lee's role in The Crow after he was shot.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. So, like,
this is fantastic film facts again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I guess I'm oversharing.
Yeah.
But I love that he was so good at stunt coordinating. Whoever loaded the gun was not, but the stunts in the movie are incredible. And I think that the fact that he was in that industry for so long, then made an action movie, is why it's so completely impressive with the action.
Yeah. You mentioned that one scene with Keanu Reeves. You go to the Liam Neeson part. That phone call is the one. It's the part of that I remember when he explains exactly what's going to happen. It's incredible. As a comedy fan, let me ask you this, though, because I'm a huge fan of Naked Gun going back many years. I love that series. I love Police Squad. It was like, as a kid, I loved those movies.
I had Police Squad on VHS.
It's incredible.
Some people didn't even know it was a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. And it was great.
So funny.
New one coming out with Liam Neeson as the star, which is interesting. And, like, I don't think I would have seen it until I saw him do some of those SNL sketches where he's super dry, and he really can pull off comedy. I have some optimism for the movie. How do you feel about it?
I do, but there's a great Ricky Gervais sketch, if anybody Googles it, where Ricky's trying to teach him improv.
Yes, that might be the one I'm thinking of.
It's brilliant.
It's incredible. He's so good in it.
Yeah, and Ricky's like, hi, I'd like to buy some flowers. He's like, we're closed. He's like, all right, well, see, the scene has to be you're open if we want to continue. And the next one, he's like, I have AIDS. And he's like, all right, this isn't how we want to do this.
That's right.
You don't have
that is the
darkest
one
place possible. And they play it perfectly.
Perfect.
I was excited to find out it was Liam Neeson. I believed he could pull it off. When I saw the trailer, though, of him coming in, I don't know if you've seen it. It's like a little Girl Scout walks into a building and pulls off a mask and then turns into Liam Neeson.
Yes, I can see that.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
I was kind of hoping it was just a promotional. You think that's part of the movie?
I hope not.
I hope that's not, yeah.
Because it was taken from the Zuckers,
who
made the originals, and they wanted to make one for a long time, a prequel with his son.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
the Lonely Island guys or something that are
Who I like a lot, too.
Yeah, they do a lot of things.
They're really funny. Pop Stars are very underrated movie.
It is, especially the first half of it is actually incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah. And, like, I don't know if they did MacGruber, but they did a couple. This is one of the funniest movies.
That's funny. I've never met another MacGruber defender.
Nobody.
It's
so
good.
I don't think anybody's seen it driving around in his Miata, taking out his tape deck, carrying it everywhere.
Yes, it's incredible. It is, like, legitimately, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
But it's legitimately really funny.
Oh.
I tried to sell a bunch of my friends on this on, like, a trip. They're like, what movie should we watch? I'm like, how about MacGruber? Like, MacGruber?
Yeah.
I was like, you're gonna love this. I don't know that it played as well as I was hoping it would in the room, but there's a couple moments in it where it just kills.
That and Dewey Cox, Walk Hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that John C. Reilly?
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
And, yeah, MacGruber is definitely one where it's, quote, Val Kilmer's the bad guy, and he's perfect in it.
He's really good.
You know, he's just like, oh, I guess because that's I'm a blithering idiot who killed all of my own men. Oh, wait, that's you.
Yeah.
And it's just like the funniest,
it's dry. So ridiculous.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know if anybody watches it.
Turn the show off. Turn off Normal World and watch MacGruber is basically our advice for the day. Dave Landau, be sure to catch him on Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Grab a copy or two of his new book, Party of One, which is available wherever you get your books, and you can find out if he's really in the Russian mob. Dave, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Ooh, it's hot in here today. I don't know if you can tell. I mean, I am like, you know, Glenn broke the air conditioning or something in here. So we're dealing with, I apologize. But let me tell you about, maybe Glenn should be investing a little bit better so he could pay the air conditioning bills around this place. Now, let me tell you about how you could do that with our friends over at Constitution Wealth. Well, major corporations push agendas contrary to traditional values. We know this, right? Many investors unknowingly fund these initiatives through their portfolios. You don't even think about that, right? Like, where are my investment dollars going? You just think about the returns, which is great. You got to have those returns. But when mainstream financial media won't tell you the uncomfortable truth, Constitution Wealth will. They offer you a different approach. Their team of professionals specializes in helping patriots align their investments with their beliefs. You don't have like the inadvertent like support of a policy that undermines your values. Their expertise allows investors to understand the matters in today's complex markets that they need to actually be able to get the returns that they want, but also get strategies for building what people call a parallel economy. We talk about this all the time. It really is important. You think about it with, you know, your phone bill or, you know, Bud Light. Oh, I'm not going to buy Bud Light. Well, what about your portfolio? Are you thinking the same way? You should. Constitution Wealth can help you work through that. It can help take away that influence of corporate policies through strategic investment choices made by professionals who share your values. ConstitutionWealth.com/blaze is the place to go. Get a free consultation today. It's ConstitutionWealth.com/blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at ConstitutionWealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing involves risk, of course, including the risk of loss. I'm a client of the firm, and this is a paid endorsement. My opinions are my own. So we've got another trade announcement that hit today. Kind of an announcement of a framework for future discussions. The 90-day pause on some of these tariffs, or a lowering of tariffs with China. Markets, of course, love that. When you put tariffs on, markets go down. When you take them off, they go up. That shouldn't be the how you prove tariffs are good or bad, right? You might still like the policy, but that is how the markets certainly react to them. You can see they shot up today on news of this announcement. It's only a 90-day pause. It didn't come down to as low as previously existed. Everyone's reporting it at 30%. I don't think that's exactly right because there was a tariff that existed beforehand. I believe the 30% is on top of that tariff. So I believe it's at around 48, mid-40s in that general vicinity of a tariff right now. That's certainly a big improvement over what it was, assuming, you know, again, you think lower tariffs are better. If you like the tariffs at 145%, you probably think this is really bad news. If you know your goal is to bring back manufacturing jobs by really high tariffs, this is going to hurt that process. It kind of depends, I guess, where you stand on that spectrum, but that's where we stand on tariffs today. Also, we have Newark and Atlanta airports seeing further chaos with more than 500 flights disrupted. Passengers warned to expect delays over FAA staffing issues. These are issues we covered directly in our documentary that came out, late last year, called Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. I believe we specifically mentioned Newark as a problem with low staffing. Certainly that region, massive, massive problems going on there. And we're seeing that play out in front of our eyes. It's really a disgrace. This is the United States of America. This is, you know, it's not Mozambique. We should be able to freaking get our airplanes to land safely. We will work on that, I suppose. You can check out that documentary, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet. It's on YouTube or with your Blaze TV subscription, blazetv.com/stew. I have so many great shows, and as I mentioned, documentaries right here on Blaze TV. If you want to check out the latest we have for you, you can check it out at stewdoesamerica.com. Use the code STEW. You'll save $20 off your subscription to Blaze TV. Got an annual plan that you can kind of save on. It's Blaze TV, unfiltered, unafraid, and on demand, and kind of ready for you whenever you need it. I mean, you know, of course you get the radio show every day. I don't know if you, and we don't talk about it all that often, but get the video of the radio show available every day. You get Glenn TV, you get Pat Gray Unleashed, Steve Dace, so many great shows. Sarah Gonzalez, so many great shows. I'm going to be on with Sarah later on today. Check that out.